Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're in Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. Matthew 16, 5 through 12. Last time we met together, we took verses 1 through 4, the proof from heaven. As two groups, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, two religious groups within the Hebrew and Jewish religion, joined forces because they're usually opponents. They usually disagree on everything, but they have joined forces, uniting themselves against Jesus Christ. They came together and they asked Jesus to provide proof as a sign from heaven. We studied from verses 1 through 4 that there are two kinds of signs or miracles presented in the Scripture: confirmation signs and authorization signs. Jesus did signs to confirm that he was the promised coming Messiah. The Jews based these confirmation signs on Exodus chapters 4 through 11, where God gave Moses certain signs or miracles to perform in order to confirm to the Jewish people that God had sent Moses to be their deliverer. Jesus himself, according to Matthew, as we've studied so far in the book, Jesus performed his miracles according to the prophecies of Isaiah. And Isaiah prophesied that when the Messiah comes, he would do certain miracles. And Jesus made reference back to Isaiah's prophecies and pointed to himself as being the one who is fulfilling them. Confirmation miracles and confirmation signs. But we also saw that even false prophets and false Christs are able to perform signs and wonders. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. Even the Antichrist is said to be going to have the ability to perform signs and wonders and deceive many. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And people admit, people come to the point where they say, well, Jesus performed miracles, but Satan can perform miracles too. But if somebody performs miracles in the name of Jesus, that's from the Lord, totally and completely. The problem with that is that Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, that he says, many people will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do many miracles in your name? And Jesus said, I will say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. So people can even perform miracles using Jesus' name and it not be from the Lord. That's a very scary thing, something to be cautious over. Don't get taken in just because there is a miracle. Satan can perform miracles. The Holy Spirit performs miracles. Many times from the Old Testament, Satan duplicated the miracles that God's Spirit did. That's a very scary situation. So someone would say, then how do we know the difference? Well, first of all, you have to test the Spirit, but if a spirit performing a miracle is not from the Lord and it's from Satan, That miracle will draw you to the miracles. That miracle will draw you to the signs and wonders. You'll start following signs and wonders. You start seeking miracles of healings all the time. It will not bring you to Jesus. Because when Jesus performed miracles, he drew people to himself. He was confirming who he was. And then after he performed the miracles, he told them, from now on, you have to live by faith. And that's why a lot of people did not want to walk any longer with Jesus, is because he only performed miracles in order to show people who he was. And then from then on, they had to trust him by faith. And they didn't want to do that. They wanted the miracles. They wanted the signs and wonders. So confirmation is the first kind of signs and wonders or miracles in the scriptures. Even Satan can perform those. But then here in our text, the authorization signs and wonders, they asked Jesus to prove himself for who he is with a sign from out of heaven. That's different than the miracles that he has been doing. They've seen his healings. They've seen his miracles for 2 years. But now they're asking him to show proof from heaven. Nothing from man, but something directly coming from God from out of heaven. Again, based on scriptures, the Jews would use authorization signs. You remember Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 19 through 39. Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal and put a sacrifice up on the altar and said, if your God is real, have him call down fire from heaven and consume the sacrifice. No hocus pocus, no man laying hands on or praying or whatever. Call God out of heaven. Let him show you a proof from heaven. But then when it came to Elijah's turn, of course, their gods wouldn't answer. He said, God showed that you're the true God of Israel, and fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, consumed the altar, and everybody knew that Elijah's God was the true and the living God. Even in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, when John the Baptist was told to go baptize and that he would know when he's face to face with the Messiah, when he should see the Holy Spirit come down from heaven and land upon him. And that happened in Matthew 3, verse 16, but also in Matthew 3, 17. Then there was a voice from out of heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Authorization directly from heaven, from God, and by God himself. So in verse 4, we're told, Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks for signs. Be careful of being a sign seeker. Jesus said that's wickedness and adultery, spiritual adultery. The only sign that's going to be given to this generation is the sign of Jonah. And we know the scriptures teach that Jonah is a type of the resurrection of Christ. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And Jesus will be raised. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, it wasn't because anybody prayed. It wasn't because anybody laid hands on the tomb. He was raised by God directly from heaven. So he says that'll be the only sign. That's authorization of who Jesus is, would be the fact that he's raised from the dead. The proof from heaven they wanted to know. He said there won't be any except the resurrection from the dead. For today, the perception of religious leaven, the perception of religious leaven. Verse 5, the circumstance involved. And when his disciples had come to the other side, they forgot to take bread. So they went by ship and came to the other side. In Mark's gospel, in Mark chapter 8, verse 14, it tells us that when they left the shore on the other side, they had a partial loaf of bread with them in the boat. By the time they get over now to the other side, they didn't take enough bread. That's what the text tells us. Now the commands in verse 6. And Jesus said to them, take heed, or more literally, watch, and beware from the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The two commands, take heed, which literally means watch, be observant, and beware from the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Interesting, the first word, watch, means to be observant to the people from the outside of you. Be observant to what comes into you from the outside. The second thing is the word beware. When used with this word for take heed, means to pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to what comes out of you. So beware, that is be watching for incoming information and incoming things into your life from other people. And secondly, pay attention to yourself, what's coming out. I find it interesting, the Bible does say that we, even as Christians, we can deceive ourselves. And that's the major thing that's going on right now within the body of Christ. We're deceiving ourselves. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he might become wise. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, he says, but evil men and seducers shall grow worse and worse in the last days, deceiving and being deceived. Be careful about deceiving oneself. You see, in the natural, not talking about being under the influence of the Spirit of God, but just in the natural, in the human, I go by my opinions, my convictions, and I also go by what I believe, my beliefs. My opinions, convictions, and beliefs. All churches are pretty much made up of a group of people who have the same opinions, same convictions, and same beliefs, which are different from everybody else. And once their convictions and beliefs change, they leave and go find another group that meets up with those beliefs and convictions and opinions. The problem that we have is that my standard in the natural, my standard of discerning and coming to a conclusion of what truth is based on what I think, what my opinion is. I'm surprised now, but I'm more surprised at myself when I was a younger Christian, and I would challenge the older Christians as to whether they knew what they were talking about or not. They'd been educated, they've had experience in the Word, they've been ministering for years, great servants of God, very dedicated. But see, I knew better. Because it didn't line up with what I believed, my convictions, or my opinions. After all, I have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, your opinions are right, even though they're different than everybody else's opinions. That should wake us up. Am I the only one on this planet that has the right opinion? Because my opinion is different than everybody else. Why are you people so wrong? You know? because we're deceiving ourselves. Our opinions, convictions, and beliefs do not establish truth. Truth establishes itself. That's why we need to, when we're studying the Bible, we need to study the text, not people's beliefs about what the text says. Hundreds, thousands of books, commentaries, and thousands of churches that represent different views, opinions, and beliefs and convictions about what God's Word says. How do we come to so many different approaches and views? Because we're not taking the text itself and studying that text itself. So pay attention to how you're being programmed to think. People have complained to me over the years about false teaching. Well, in our church, we've got a lot of teaching that's wrong. But why are you there? Every time you tithe and every time you show up to the church, you're actually supporting it. The false teacher can't teach unless people come and want it. Most of the time people are saying, I do not want false teaching, but they look around until they find the false teaching that they agree with. We're being programmed. You're being programmed. Be aware here. Pay attention. Be watchful. What you're receiving is influencing your life. It's either influencing it in the right way or the wrong way. And if you receive it and it's wrong, then you'll become wrong. Then he says, watch and beware from the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven is a yeasting agent. We've studied this before. Leaven is a yeasting agent put into dough to make the bread rise. And so remember, they did not take bread. And so Jesus is saying, beware of and be watchful from the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So naturally, they started reasoning amongst themselves because they said, we didn't bring bread. So what he's telling us is that when the Sadducees and Pharisees offer us bread, don't take it. Verse 7. And they were reasoning among themselves, saying that we did not take bread. He said, beware of the leaven. We didn't take bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said to them, oh, you have little faith. Literally, little faith ones. It's all one word in the Greek text, and it's a title. Little faith ones. People who have very little faith. He's not chiding them to have more faith. They couldn't have any more faith than they had because they would have had to get it from Jesus. They have no Spirit of God living within them. He's pointing that out to them. Why do you reason among yourselves because you did not take bread? Do you not perceive, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How do you not perceive that I did not speak to you concerning bread to beware from the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? He's basically saying, you think I would say to you, you guys forgot the food. Now we're really stuck. This is after I just multiplied the food out to feed 5,000 people and multiplied the little boy's lunch out to feed 4,000. You think we're stuck? Why are you reasoning among yourselves because you didn't take bread? I'm the bread maker. I'm right here. That's obviously not what I was meant by leaven, the yeasting agent. So how is it that you do not? Well, that's a good question because they did not understand because spiritually They did not have God's Spirit. Now Jesus causes them to understand. Verse 12, then they understood that he did not say to beware from the leaven of bread, but from the doctrine or teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, leaven, when it's used metaphorically or as an example or in representation of something, always represents evil, always, in the Bible. So when leaven is used to represent something, it represents evil in its teaching. Paul used it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 through 8. This is where the man was in the church in Corinth and he was having sexual relations with his stepmother. And Paul said to bring it to his attention and tell him he needs to repent. They came back and said, well, we've talked to him about it, but he won't repent, and so there's nothing we can do. Paul says, yes, there is something you could do and something you must do. Not a matter of legalism. We have a spiritual influence here that's going to affect the whole group. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ is there, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In other words, you must discipline this person. It will hurt him in the human, but we're interested in his spiritual welfare at the end. Your glorying is not good based on boasting about your church. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Put a little bit of leaven in dough, it'll spread. He's using that now for immorality. A little bit of immorality will spread. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Purge out, therefore, that old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are already unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He's making reference to the feast back in Exodus chapter 12, verses 18 through 20, the feast of unleavened bread, Exodus 12, 18 through 20. What is the feast of unleavened bread? Passover is celebrated for one day. That's celebrating the Jews putting the blood of the lamb on their doorposts and the angel of death passing over their house and killing the firstborn of the Egyptians. But the first day after the Passover is one day. The first day after the Passover and for 7 days is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Leaven represents evil. So they were to go through their house, their cupboards, even their own person carrying what they carried. They had to get rid of all of the leaven for 1 week because leaven represented corruption and influence in their relationship with God. So you have a beautiful picture of salvation at Passover, and then fellowship with the Lord right after that in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Any evil, practice of evil, is going to influence even a saved person. A person will not lose their salvation, but that little bit of leaven, that little bit of sin will spread. We can probably fool a lot of people from the outside, but in our own personal lives, if it's sin, it's going to affect our own walk with the Lord and affect our fellowship with other Christians. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, purge out that old leaven. Because a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. The whole church is going to be affected by this one man who's in sin, and nobody wants to do anything about it. Purge it out. You're already unleavened by receiving Christ. Stay unleavened. And purge out that old leaven. So Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 used leaven as a representation of evil. He also used it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. Galatians chapter 5, the first few verses, Paul talked about Christians who received Christ by grace, but then were told to start keeping the Jewish law. They needed to keep the law and the rules and the regulations. Grace and law do not mix in the scriptures. It's like oil and water. Paul, all through Galatians, chided them by saying, if you've begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the performance of the flesh? Galatians chapter 3. No, you're not. So he says, by being saved by God's grace and receiving God's spirit into your life, and now go try to keep the law, the rules and regulations. He says in Galatians 5, 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Your whole walk with the Lord is going to be affected by you trying to keep the law. Whatever spiritual grace produces, the peace and the joy, will not be there if you try to keep the law. Also, remember back in Matthew chapter 13, the chapter on parables, were a series of parables back in Matthew chapter 13. Verses 1 through 9, the parable of the sower. You remember one of the instances when the seeds fell on the ground, the birds came and took the seeds and removed it. Jesus explained the birds represent evil. In verses 24 through 30, the wheat and the tares growing up together. Good and evil growing up together until the judgment day. Verses 31 to 32, the mustard seed plant that grew so big that the birds came and lodged in its branches, the same birds that are in verses 1 through 9 that took the seed. The birds represent evil within the kingdom. And then verse 33 of Matthew 13 was the parable of the leaven, where a woman took three measures of meal and hid leaven in it, and the leaven spread so much in the meal that it took up the whole lump. In all of those instances, the birds, the tares, and the leaven all represent the same thing, evil. Evil in the kingdom of God. It's going to be there until Jesus comes and ends it. But in the meantime, evil will spread. Just like right now, we call church and churches. We know what that means from a biblical standpoint. But there's just so much evil. There's so much false teaching. So basically what he's saying here to us, watch and beware of false teaching. That's what the leaven represents. Watch and beware from false teaching. First of all, that's coming to you from the outside. The things you read, the people you listen to. Be watchful. Be observant, whether it's the truth or not. And then pay attention to yourself, that you don't get sidetracked going in the wrong direction by your own opinions, your own judgments, your own convictions, and your own beliefs. Don't take yourself seriously. Only the Word of God is right. Only the Word of God is right. So watch out from those who bring you teaching from the outside, because our understanding from it is affected on the inside. So today we have teachings in the body of Christ from the Eastern religions. It's all psychology, practicing psychological principles, practicing positive thinking. These are all in the church today. Many years ago, I would say 30 or 40 years ago, those things were pointed out as being abominable and evil, limited to the Christian Science movement. But now it has spread into the churches and into the body of Christ. The leaven is spreading. I am responsible for how people influence and affect me. I am responsible for how I take it in and how what I become in light of what I'm hearing. I can blame it on the false teachers, but I'm the one that's hearing it. I'm the one that's putting my hearing under it. I'm the one that's supporting it. And so Jesus was telling them, be watching for the influences on the outside of you and be paying attention to yourself. Because that same influence that's in that person is also coming from out of you to somebody else, even your own self. All right, let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No wonder Satan works so hard to get people distracted from what the scriptures teach. So pointed, so to the point, so powerful to address the very issues that we suffer from. We pray that by your Spirit, you'd cause us to be changed and transformed because of this time in your word. May the truth of your word be implanted in us, as James says, in the implanted word. And may we seek and search out if those things that we're hearing are true. Once we know they're true, is to make them personal, part of our relationship with Christ, so that our lives will be unleavened and full of the grace of Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.